WBA Mobile.
Well, how'd she check out, Dave? We're headed back from the water department. Just went up and paid the bill in 0TR.
Deadbolt on the... She has two locks on the front door, and one of them I installed. It's spring loaded, so you can, and it has a little knob on it, or a little, I don't know what you would call it, but anyway, you can set it so that when you close the door, it locks too, and you have to have a key to get back in. And she has a deadbolt. Well, the deadbolt was real loose, and I had to tighten it from the inside, of course. And I set her alarm off. They gave me the code, but it wouldn't take it. And I kept punching it in. And so finally, the lady came on the system from CPI, and I was on the phone with my wife, and she's saying, asking me the security code, and so my wife gave it to me so I could tell her what it was, so they wouldn't call the police out there on me. I could have been in big trouble.
I know why. I've been there and done that, and we got a different type of system. But the funniest one I ever saw was they'd send me to Kansas City now and then to work at a machine shop they bought and were going to move the machinery out to Utah. But in the meantime, if a machine broke, they'd send me 125 miles up north to repair it. And I noticed these big red infrared reflectors. They looked the size of a stoplight back then, Dave. And they were in each one of the corners, and so I kind of sensed that this was an alarm system. And so one night, they sent my boss up there from Pittsburgh to take the place of the superintendent at that facility because he was going on vacation. And so Walter and I was over at the Holiday Inn, and had to go back over to the office and work late. And he went over there and he set that alarm off. So when you walked in, you had to walk up a flight of stairs. There was metal stairs, and probably 10 feet up, and then you'd go into the office. So Walter's up there in the office working. He didn't realize that he'd set off the alarm there in Kansas City, Kansas. And about that time, these guys from the police station come up behind him and had their guns on him. And they shoved him up against the file cabinets that he was looking in. And they searched him. And they wouldn't let him turn around, and they wanted identification, and he wasn't the normal superintendent there. I about died laughing. He was scared to death, I'm telling you. And they kind of manhandled him, but they finally cleared it. But they had to go through a lot to figure out if he really was the guy that had been sent to replace the superintendent.
My luck, I tell you, I worked for Bankers Trust back when they were moving their, I forget what they called it, the technical name, but it was the operations center, that was it, to Columbia. And so all the people that had jobs there running computers, were given other jobs, or they went and found other jobs. And so they hired me to do the job of the run the check sorter computer until they were ready to take over in Columbia. And so I worked there a few months, and I had to wait until the evening, about 5 o'clock or so, when after they closed. They had to balance, the tellers had to balance, and they could go home, and once they balanced, then I could start, they'd give me the checks, and I could start, doing the sorting, and it took till, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, usually, and I was done. So anyway, one night I finished and I was locking up, and for some reason, I don't know why, I went back to the front door. I thought I hadn't locked it, and I shook it, and it was locked, and evidently I set the alarm off, and of course it's a silent alarm, and all of a sudden I go up to the gate, and I get out to lock the gate, and the police pull up and say, and the guy just, he has his hand propped on his chin, you know, and he says, "Your alarm's on," like that. So they had to go in and walk around and look, and, you know, I told him what happened. I said, I shook the door, and I said, I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably set it off, and, but they were real nice about it, and once they were satisfied, you know, there wasn't any kind of foul play going on, then we log it up again and waited for the alarm to go off, and which took a few minutes, and then they were on their way. So I learned my lesson.
This was Walter Riley. He passed away a few years ago, but Walter John, we called him. He goes down, now you got to realize that down there around the railroad yards in the inner city viaduct where this machine shop was, when I went in there that night, the alarms were going off, and these two black kids had climbed over a chain link fence with wire on top, and the Dobermans got to them before the cops got there. Anyway, I got there late that night, and the alarms were all going off, and the cops were all around, so I just went to the hotel. I didn't even try to go in the machine shop. It was so bad an area, they had you bring your car inside the machine shop, because they said they'd steal your transmissions, your tires, your batteries, anything if you left your car parked outside. And so, anyways, it was a rough area. So one night, Walter John left there, and he went to a quick trip type store, you know. And he went in there, and while he was in there, this motorcycle gang called the Weatherman pulled in there, too. He had all the bad luck. He made it out of there, but he said, "Tom, I almost wet my britches." He says, "You ought to have seen these guys." I said, "Yeah, they got a pretty good reputation for killing people just for the fun of it." And he didn't like Kansas City whatsoever.
No, I've never been to Kansas City, so I can't really say if I'd like it or not. I know a preacher that went out there to start a church, and he was going to have, this was back in the early 90s, he was going to have ATM things in the pews where you could just use your credit card to pay your tithe right there in the pew, you know, so he wanted to be real high-tech, you know.
Yeah, that would be kind of high-tech and a little imposing, I guess. Shoot. Yeah, well, Kansas City's like any other town, Dave. There's good parts of it and there's bad parts of it, and if you don't know your way around, you're best not to get out at any place if you don't know that area of town. And I've been advised that where that machine shop was not a good area. And my dad had told me that. You know, he was a railroader, and they they didn't even go out when they got down there. They'd have somebody pick them up and take them out to eat and then back to the hotel. But I went up there one night and stayed with him at the hotel way, way back. Would have been in the 50s, I guess. And he kept me pretty close. And there was one place I remembered he taught me, you don't step off the curb in Kansas City until the light turns because they'll run over you. I remember on the front of Union Station there were still pock marks where these guys with Tommy guns, Thompson's submachine guns, took a prisoner away from these federal agents, and there's still nicks in the granite, if you're aware of it, and know where to look. So, not a good place to get lost, and especially at night. Dave, we've arrived back home from the dump. Good talking to you. I'll be clear on your final 7-3s. Have a good day. This is Zero TR.
Tom, well, I'm headed down Wade Hampton here. I'm headed back to the house myself. So you have a good one, and Bernice, make him behave. 73 Zero TR KB 4 CBA.
CBA KN 4 VWA.
Oh, Mr. Steve, how are you, sir?
Know it. I'm getting a call. I'll be right back with you. Hey,
KN4 VWA. 4 VWA, KB4 CBA. See, you're back.
I'm back. Hey, hey, where are you?
I'm fixing to pull in the garage.
Why don't you pull out of the garage, come on over to the A&P restaurant on 14, and eat lunch with me and Rick Davis. You're steaking a salad over there, and that's keto.
Had breakfast an hour ago.
Even duty. I tell you what. Hey, listen, we're all getting together up there at the house tomorrow, and Craig Lyon is coming up. And we're gonna build. You can do the flight sim if you want to. Oh, and by the way, my brother's coming up from Alpharetta to fly this evening. We're gonna go up to the park up there. We're gonna up there at the flying field fly this afternoon. You wanna?
What time is that?
Well, he's leaving Atlanta right about now, which so means he'll be up here at about 3 o'clock, and we'll be over there by about 3 or 3:30.
Yeah, I've got a tennis game at 4:30, so I'll be leaving about 3:45 to go over there.
Well, be that way. All right. You just don't love me no more, do you?
It's not that. I mean, I just want to play as much tennis as I can. I really decided to buy the stupid simulator and because I've got a controller, so I could just put practice here at the house.
Yep. Listen, I got to jump, son. I pulled into the A&P over here on 14. Me and Dave's going to go in and eat some lunch. I will talk to you again soon. And we're up there tomorrow if you so choose to come and be sociable. KN4VWA. I'm clear, brother.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but I appreciate it. Or unsociable or whatever. 73s, KB4 CBA clear.